Morning.
Morning.
Morning. Morning.
So I'll be taking over the class this morning and along with the lesson too. We are going to take a break from the conflict resolution class, and I decided to do a class on forgiveness. Now, if any of you guys have been going to the Wednesday night studies, there's a format that we use in that that I will be using this morning because I think it's a very easy format to follow, and it also makes you guys participate, so I'm not just up here lecturing. How that format usually goes is, so topic's forgiveness, so we're going to start off by defining what it is, then sharing verses about it, and then providing an example of somebody in the Old Testament and somebody in the New Testament. Then we're going to reflect on how Christians reflect a Christ-like attitude through forgiveness, and then finally, how can we grow in forgiveness, and how can we seek opportunities to demonstrate it? That's the format we're going to go off of. But before we get started in that, I would like to start us off with a word of prayer. Would you bow with me? Dear Father, I thank you for this time that you have given us to come together this morning, and in this time we are going to be talking about forgiveness, Lord, and I pray that this be a good class and that it benefits everybody here, Lord. And I hope that what we talk about today may help people in their lives if they're struggling with this, Lord, or just we can take it to heart, and when it comes up later in our life, we can apply what we talked about today. Lord, I pray that you be with everybody else in their classes, and I hope they benefit from them too, and they learn a lot more too. In your son's name, we pray. Amen. Okay. So forgiveness. I'm going to wait till you guys give me some answers before I give you my answers that I have, so that, like I said, I'm not the only one talking in this class. So to start off, define forgiveness. What is forgiveness?
I got this. Looking it up. To
bestow a
favor unconditionally, to let loose from it and remit completely cancel. To remit, to completely cancel. The complete removal of cause of offense on Christ's death. He died for our sins.
Yeah. That's a really good definition. Anybody else got anything on forgiveness? What it is?
An intentional decision to let go of resentment and anger.
Yeah, that's pretty close to what I have written down here too. Mine was, yeah, a decision to release anger or resentment towards somebody who has caused harm. I think we also need to remember that we can forgive somebody, but it doesn't necessarily mean we'll totally forget what has happened, or we just completely excuse what has happened. Forgiveness is a step in healing for you and for the person that it is between. It's a step that helps with healing, and you gotta remember that it may take time to forgive. It's not an instant thing where, oh, somebody's done something to me, oh, I can automatically forgive them. No, it could be something that has hurt you a lot. Then you need to take time, maybe go to God in prayer, maybe talk to some other people and work this out, and then you can go and sit down and talk with them and hopefully forgive them. Again, you won't completely forget what has happened, will you? But it can be take steps for you to move on. We can't sit there and dwell in what has happened. We can't dwell in the past. We must move on. And this is a step that may help some of us to move on. Carol, you had your hand up?
Yeah, well, some people say that the person has to come to you for you to be able to give
for you to forgive them. It doesn't forgive their sin before God. It doesn't mean that they still don't need to come to you. But I heard in a movie the other day, the opposite of forgiveness is unforgiveness. It's like you taking the poison and thinking the other person's going to die. It's like you have to take care of what you have to take care of. That's all you can do. The other person, if they don't do what's right, it is up to them and not up to you.
For sure. Each person has their part they have to partake in. Same as when we're confessing to God. We have our part where we need to make that confession. And then God has his part of forgiving. Just like between two people, you have your part of confessing. And the other part, person has their part of forgiving.
But you don't have to wait for somebody to come to you to forgive them. You can forgive them without, maybe they don't even know you have. But for yourself, you have forgiven them in your heart.
Yes.
Yes. Exactly. I know that I had something I was gonna say, and I was just totally left it. But Bob,
forgiveness, at least for me, is a really hard thing because unlike God, who when he forgives, he blots it out, he remembers it no more. And being human, I can't do that. And it's just like when you lose a loved one, you never ever truly completely forget about that person. They fade over time, and even to the point where maybe as we get really older, we've lost someone, then we know we lost someone, but we don't know the particular things anymore. So the fact that I can't truly forget makes it an ongoing work to keep that forgiveness alive.
Absolutely.
Like I've been estranged with my brother for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And I've reached out and made the effort to contact him again. And it's never like it was when we were kids. You know, it's just because he can't forget. I can't forget. So it's a work in progress. It's not something that just automatically happens. Maybe it does for some people, and maybe there are certain situations where it will be, but I don't think we should be beating ourselves up all the time because we just can't seem to get there in the forgetfulness part.
Yeah, I mean that's what I said, is that, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that you forget, but it helps with the healing process. It helps with moving on from it. Again, like you said, it's hard to forget things. We'll hold on to stuff at times. But that should not get in the way of our forgiveness for one another. Eileen?
It says in Matthew 6:15, he says, but if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So
all right, me and you really need to start having a talk because you've been stealing all of your sins. You've been
taking
a lot of
the Bible.
Yes.
We read the same book.
Because that is literally the verse that I have in my definition here that I wanted to bring up too. But okay, No, but that is good. Matthew 6:15. But if you do not forgive others' sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That is a very, very good verse to remember and to keep on our minds too. Kelly, you got your hand up.
Well, it was that, but it's also same chapter, verse 12, and forgive our debts as we also forgive our debtors. It's a commandment from God, and it's going to be hard. And when something comes up and you remember the harshness and whatever, you have to work through it. And sometimes in life, you can only love a person as an enemy. You forgive them, but maybe you're only going to be able to forgive them and stay miles away from them because you can't control yourself yet. But then you can work yourself back down to other stages. But like Bob says, it's usually never going to be like it was if you had a relationship before. It can be close, it can be congenial, but hurts like that, it's difficult, and you have to forgive no matter what. You can't necessarily forget, but you've got to forgive.
I was just going to say, and it has to be from the heart too, because that, if it's not from the heart, it's going to be worse. And if that person's passed away before you can confront that person, that's even more serious. But you make sure that you do it before any time passes, because it gets harder and harder if you don't. And you have to do it unlimitedly. I mean, there's no time on it necessarily, but there's no amount of time, amount of many times that you have to do it. More than 70 times, so that's just unlimited. You have to do it all the time, or continue from the heart.
I mean, Jesus even says, Peter asked the question to him, and Jesus said, you should forgive him 70 times. Just shows you in your mouth, like, the power that forgiveness has. Yeah. It's not just, oh, just do it once or twice, but it's something that you can do.
And you're not going to forget. You can forgive, but you don't forget.
Jake. Sorry.
That's okay. I don't know if anybody's ever, I watched a show about serial killers. There was the Green River Killer, and there was a man that got up during the phase where the victim's family got to speak, and he looked at him and he said he forgave him for killing his daughter, because God required him to do so. But I can't even imagine having to do that. But that man did it.
Forgiveness, it's a hard thing, especially when somebody's done something that bad to you. And just being able to forgive like that is huge.
I think that God commands us to forgive for our own benefit, not necessarily for the one who done the wrong, but for our own benefit.
Exactly. It is our benefit, because, like I said, forgiving is not an easy thing to do, and it takes a lot for us to do. But once we do it, I feel that we feel a lot better. I mean, even for myself, and I've forgiven people in the past, and just holding on to that resentment for them, or that resentment, it can just beat down on me. It shows that you're really just closed off. And it can really weigh on you. And then once you forgive, it can be a weight on your shoulders. But yes, it is a very, very beneficial for us to do that. Yes.
I was just going to say forgiveness allows us to move on.
Yes, it does. It helps us move on. It helps us with healing. Okay, so we've established what forgiveness is. Let's move on and share a couple of verses that concern forgiveness. Anybody got any verses that they know of off the top of their head?
Thanks, Joanne. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgives them. Kind of a model of how.
Absolutely. That's good. I don't think that's one that I've ever heard now, but that is a good. Can you repeat that verse again for us?
Ephesians 4:32.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a. Actually, I think I've got that down later in mind, later in the class. But yeah, that is a good model for what forgiveness should look like for us. Anybody else?
I have Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you.
I also did have that one written down there too. Colossians 3:13. I have 1 John 1:9, which says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Wow. He will forgive us from all our unrighteousness. That's just, to me, that's just, it's, that's power. That just shows you the power that, that God has there. You know, we ask for forgiveness. He is faithful to us, so he will forgive us and purify us. I will.
And this Psalms 103:12 goes with that. As far as the east is from the west, so does he remove our transgressions.
A lot of great verses. This is what I like about this class, is that we can get all these verses that we may not always think of or always go to on these certain topics, like forgiveness this morning. And, you know, it really makes us start to think. And for me, I like to write down something that I don't even have written down myself, and I'll go back and reflect on it and dive deeper into that verse and see what it means. Like I was said before, I had Matthew 6. I had 14 and 15 there. For if I forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if I do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. You know, we can't have an unforgiving posture. But that suggests that we have yet to open up to receive and experience God's forgiveness.
Yeah, I think that when we're considering whether or not we're going to continue to be angry at someone or forgive them, we need to consider that we will need forgiveness at some point in our life too, probably many points.
Yes. I always think with stuff like forgiveness or like faithfulness, you know, how God's faithful to us and God forgives us. What stops you from forgiving other people? God can forgive me of sin and forgiving of my wrongdoing. Then I should be able to forgive others of their wrongdoing on me. You know, we're going to talk about examples later about forgiveness and everything. I think God's the ultimate example of that. Of forgiveness. He forgives us for all of our wrongdoings. We confess to him and he will forgive us. Anybody else have any verses on forgiveness? Yeah.
Well, I think that, of course, this is probably what everybody knows this one, but the motto of the Lord's Prayer is in Matthew 6. I mean, that we learned that when we were kids. But that's one to go by to start off with, you know.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to examples, and we're going to start off in the Old Testament. Anybody have some examples from the Old Testament of people and their forgiveness? Lee?
Well, Joseph and his brothers, I think, is the most obvious one of all, and it's a classic, and I think that's one of the most evident one, and it's one to go by and one to review often. And how wonderful he went to his brothers. They can only imagine what his brothers thought he was going to do. And come to find out he didn't do that. So, and that made an impression on his brothers, of course, too.
Yeah, I had Joseph written down, you know, after all they did to him.
Yeah, all they did.
Sold him in slavery. He ended up rising to a position of power within Egypt. And when the famine came in, instead of seeking revenge on his brothers, he forgave them.
Yeah.
And embraced them and was happy to see them. and also provided them food for them and their families. I think Joseph is a very, very powerful example of forgiveness, because, I mean, you guys were sold from slavery and then went through a lot. How easy would that be to forgive the people who did that to you? Anybody else have any examples for Bob?
Well, Esau forgave Jacob.
Yeah.
And Jacob was petrified to be reunited with his brother because he thought his brother would take revenge on him. And he didn't. In fact, Esau said it was God's will.
Yeah, Esau's another very kind of worship. I don't know why they think of Esau. It was not one that came to mind when I was doing this. I'd like to, you know, probably go back and reread that story there. Go through that again. I know I have Abigail down, or David and Abigail. And Abigail were going to ask me for forgiveness on behalf of her husband, me, which David was very thankful for her coming, because there was about to be a lot of bloodshed that shouldn't have been, just because of things they have said and things they have done. That's another powerful thing. His wife came to his rescue on that and asked for forgiveness, and David was very thankful for that. Anybody else have examples from the Old Testament on forgiveness?
Well, I was just thinking about how often God had to forgive continually through the Old Testament. He had to forgive his people. I mean, he was right there willing to do it if they came to him and asked for repentance or forgiveness from him.
Yeah, I always think of, you know, the judges there, where it's just this huge cycle of, you know, they get the judge, they do it good, and then they fall back into the sinning, and then they repent, and then another judge, and it's just a big old cycle there. Yeah, you're right. God forgave them many times, and like I said, God is the greatest example that we're gonna ever have of God or Jesus, or the greatest example that we're ever gonna have of forgiveness. Because you confess your sin and they'll forgive you. And like Bob said earlier, they'll forgive you and that'll be the past. And we won't bring it up. Unlike us, brother, it'll still be there. We'll still think about it over and over. So we can move on to the New Testament now and look at the examples of forgiveness within the New Testament. So what do you guys have for people that come to your mind in the New Testament?
I have the prodigal son's father.
I mean,
Luke 18 and 19, because he forgave his son and was welcoming him back from all his sins that he committed. And that's what God does.
Yeah, that... The parable of the prodigal son,
that's huge.
Is huge, and it's huge. And it is one of my favorite parables too, and it really does hit home with me too. Because, I mean, a couple years back, I new Christian, went off to college, thought it was gonna be all easy going. It was not. Fell away. Fell into the world. Started doing what was right by the world, not right by God. And next thing I knew, I was coming home to my dad. And my dad even, I remember we were sitting downstairs and we were just talking things over. And he's like, you know, this kind of reminds me of that parable of the son. He went away, he fell away, and then he came back. And he wanted some help. And yeah, my dad helped me a ton. He helped me get back on track. And just, you know, falling away. Coming back, that is another great example of, you know, God's forgiveness. You're lost, you've fallen away, when you come back to him, he will embrace you with open arms and would love to have you back. He rejoiced that he came back. Again, another prime example of
healing.
Well,
when Stephen is stoned, his last words were, "Hold not this sin against them."
Yeah, I have Stephen written down too. He's a great example. He, while he was dying, didn't curse God, didn't get mad, but instead he stayed faithful to the end and asked for forgiveness on people who were stoning him. That's just very powerful to me too. Just till the end, he was faithful. Mark.
Luke 23 and 34, Jesus forgiving those who crucified him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The ultimate forgiveness.
I have that written down too. Yeah, just again, Jesus dying on the cross, and he is asking for forgiveness for the people that crucified him. Jesus is one of the greatest examples. Is the greatest example of forgiveness, especially that. Yes, ma'am.
I think it's also an example to me when and if I have a hard time forgiving somebody, you know, I'm making a choice. I'm probably throwing out excuses of why I won't or can't. And if I ascribe that to my God, you know, what if my God threw out excuses why he wouldn't or couldn't forgive me? You know, so every time that I have an excuse about why I won't forgive somebody, I always apply that to what if God had that same sentiment for me? I mean, I would never be forgiven, probably.
That's a good way of thinking about that. I don't think I've ever thought about it that way.
It keeps me in check, right? Keeps my ego in check, keeps my stubbornness in check. Because it happens. It happens to all of us.
Yeah, there'll be those points where, you know, somebody's done something to us that we think is unforgivable. But let's sit back and think about God, that he would forgive them.
I think about those people that you hear on the news where their children have been murdered, and then they're in the courtroom, and the parent or parents, you know, say, "I have forgiven this individual." You know, it's one of those scenarios where I honestly don't know how I could do that. So again, it helps me to keep myself in check.
Yeah.
But that forgiveness doesn't mean that they still don't have a consequence to their actions.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes, and I said that earlier when we defined forgiveness, that forgiving does not excuse what they've done. It does not, we don't forget what they've done. It's not like, oh, you're forgiven, you're clean, all that done. No, it's, there's still going to be a consequence there that's going to happen. You're very right on it. Yeah.
Well, Jesus and Stephen, the people were guilty of what they did. And it's harder to forgive somebody who has harmed you. And so that really shows that they don't have to do what they need to do for you to do what you need to do.
Yeah, exactly. So let's move into how do Christians reflect a Christ-like attitude through. So we found verses, we've seen examples. How do we reflect that in a Christ-like attitude through forgiveness? For me, it was brought up earlier, and I haven't been down here, I'm just going to let the verse speak for itself. And that was Ephesians 4:32. It was about the be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. I think that's a great example of how we can, how Christians can reflect a Christ-like attitude through forgiveness. I'm just going to let that speak for itself. Now, how do we grow in forgiveness and seek opportunities to demonstrate forgiveness to others? So let's just start off with the first question there. How do we grow in forgiveness? Dean.
Same way you grow a muscle. You do one arm curl. And then you do two arm curls. And then you do three arm curls. And then your arm hurts. And you think, why am I doing arm curls? But you do forearm curls. You know, it is it's something that you have to start. You know, and I think that the way you do that is you get over yourself. You know, the best sermon I ever heard on forgiveness didn't have anything to do with how I forgive you. It had to do 100% with the fact that Christ, being perfect, forgave each and every one of us, even though we didn't deserve it. We don't deserve it. So we usually, when we are holding on to anger against somebody, we feel wrong and we feel entitled. They owe me an apology. They made me look bad. Each and every day we make mistakes. And if we can focus more on fixing ourselves and recognizing our shortcomings, then it becomes easier to forgive other people because we understand we don't deserve the forgiveness that God gives us.
Absolutely. And that really goes well with what Mark said earlier. When it comes time to forgive, you know, think about it. God will forgive us of our sin. What stops us forgiving other people? Carol.
Well, you know, the person who realizes that you need to forgive somebody, and if you're wrestling with that, then your prayers to God are, help me forgive this person. Help me be able to value this person the way that you valued this person, you know. 'Cause every soul God wants to save, even though he knows that many won't be saved. But he values that soul enough to want them to be saved. And so our forgiveness may not be something that we have inside ourselves at the moment, but God will help us. And then, of course, reading your Bible and seeing how many people, if you studied forgiveness, if that's what you're having trouble with, reading verses that talk about forgiveness should help focus.
Absolutely, yeah. Praying, asking for help in that moment is great. It helps you grow in it. And then something else I was going to say, but yeah, going back and looking at forgiveness throughout the Bible too is a great way. Like there were many examples that we brought up today, many verses that we brought up. Maybe we take the time to go and look at those a little later in our own time. Look at that. Look at and see how others forgave. Look at all the examples of Christ forgiving. Look at all the examples of God forgiving. And then think about our own life. Dean.
Mark has
a hand. Oh, Mark has.
I spoke last, so.
Mark,
I think it's also a reflection on your relationship with God. And as you mature as a Christian and your first and foremost desire to want to have that relationship with God. And the example that I'll give is I heard a question asked to, you know, a much older fellow, and somebody had wronged him, you know, incredibly.
And the question was, is how could you even forgive this person? And the gentleman said, you know, it's easy. I love God. And that's all he said. And there was no deviation in his voice and his tenor. He loved God. It was as simple as that. And so that's why I say I think it is a reflection of our relationship, our desire for our relationship with God that will supersede anything about self and will always consider God first, and therefore making those kinds of decisions that are very difficult and challenging, that will make them like their second nature. Of course, I'm going to forgive because I love God.
Yes, it's like what Dean said earlier, it's just you gotta do it over and over so that it becomes our second nature to do. Really, really good remarks there, Mark. Thank you. Dean?
Well, I think Mark said it more eloquently than I will say. We forgive because we have to. I don't like fish. I like to catch fish, I don't like to eat fish. I don't think anything that smells like fish should be consumed. However, if I wanted to live and I was stuck someplace where all I had to sustain my body was fish, that's my only choice, fish. Whether I like fish or not, I'm going to eat fish if I want to live. Okay, God tells us if we don't forgive, we won't be forgiven. Print that out and put it on your fridge. All the rest of the verses in the Bible don't matter if you can't forgive. You can live the greatest life doing the greatest things, be remembered by everybody, and lose your soul because you hung onto a grudge, because you had a bad feeling towards a person, you wished ill for that person, whatever it is. It seems unfathomable to forgive a person who harmed my child. But if I want to go to heaven, I don't have a choice. Period. I mean, it's one of those because I said so discussions that you have with your children. We can talk about it forever, but it's because I said so. God said forgive. You didn't deserve forgiveness and I forgave you. You know, so much like the parable of the servant that owed and then had his debt forgiven and then went and grabbed hold of the person that owed him just a tiny bit. That's how God's going to treat us if we can't forgive, don't forgive.